3 of our series, 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. It is my hope and my prayer that it has been a blessing to you. It certainly has been a blessing to me to interact with one another, to sit and meet together over coffee and talk about the Word of God, to be a blessing in one another's lives. And I pray it's been that for you too. In week one, we talked about imitating God, imitating Jesus in particular through three habits of prayer, fasting, and reading or knowing Scripture. And we've spent the last 21 days kind of working through that. Last week, we talked about what it would mean to have a heart for the house of God, recognizing that to have a heart for the house of God will lead us to have a heart for God's mission. And that's the topic of today, having a heart for the world. You know, I'm going to read a statement here real quick. It says, we believe, and this is the people of Gretna, that the Lord loves the people of the world so much that he gave his son's life to save it. Is that not the basics of the gospel, right? We started our series with John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's a message that needs, desperately, the world needs heard right now. Maybe the person right next to you, maybe the person out in your community working at the Piggly Wiggly or the grocery store, wherever you might be, or at the gas station or at Walmart or on the side of the road or at a family gathering later today. Whatever it is, the good news, the gospel, the opportunity for salvation. Wow. That's a message that has to go out. Today's text we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 28, 19 through 20. And that really is, it's a section we call the Great Commission. And it is God's command in many ways to express that gospel, to teach that gospel, and to take that good news to the world. We believe that Jesus died for it. And we believe it's our responsibility to carry it. So let's read. It says Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. I'm going to read out of the CSB. It says this: Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. That would be his disciples. And remember, I am with you always to the ends of the age. The Great Commission. If you've been around the church for very long, there's the Great Commission and the Great Commitment. This is the Great Commission. This is God's orders to his disciples. His final words before he ascends into heaven is to go out into the world and tell others, teach others, make disciples of others. That word go, right? Sometimes I think we forget that the gospel, as one theologian says, the gospel came to you or came to me because it was headed to someone else, right? The purpose of the gospel is to be constantly paid forward. It was never intended simply for my salvation, but it was intended to be a beginning that was to launch an entirely new life, to be born again with a new purpose, a new sense of strength, an opportunity to lay aside the things that we've done before and the mistakes that we've made, because I don't know about you, but I got a list, right, of things that if I could go back and change them, I would. I can't, but salvation, that good news, that gospel, man, that's what releases me from that and should release all of us as followers of Jesus to not be held back by those silly things we did, to recognize that God has made us anew. And notice it says go. It doesn't just say send. I think sometimes as the church, we think it's great when other people go tell the world about Jesus, but we don't recognize that this command is not just for other people, it's for everyone. And so there are many things we invest in the house of God, in the body of God, in the mission of God. Time, treasure, and talent are generally the three things I throw them into. Treasure, if you have money, is the easiest one because it doesn't necessarily require us to sacrifice much of anything other than a few dollars here and there. Is that valuable? It is, but I think we limit ourselves. I think we limit what God can do with us when we limit it to just that thing. The truth is, if God has given us a skill or a talent, we are to use it for him, for the sake of the kingdom. What an opportunity that is, right? But we have to actually go. Go out today after you leave here and tell the person at the restaurant you're going to go eat at, hey, did you know who Jesus is? And have you heard the gospel? Tell the person at the store. Tell the person at the park while you're walking the dog. Whatever it is, go. Tell someone about Jesus. Teach them, if they're willing, teach them the things that he has taught you. And I want to say that too. Teach them what you know. Sometimes I think we don't share the gospel. We don't go and do the things God wants us to do, even if it's more than that, right? So they're sharing the gospel. There are other ways certainly to reflect Jesus, right? Serving in a community, telling other people that Jesus loved them. There's all kinds of ways to do this. I think sometimes we don't do it because we're afraid we're not going to know enough, or they're going to ask me the question that I can't answer. You're not obligated to do that. What we're obligated to do is go and trust that God will take care of the rest. It's okay to say, I don't know that answer, but I can tell you what I do know, when somebody asks you a question that you have no clue about. He also talks about disciples, and I think that bears some explanation. What is a disciple? Well, a disciple is a Christian who believes that their life must be surrendered to the work of God. A disciple lives their life in a sharp contrast with the rest of the world. A disciple is sober in their personal self-assessment, meaning they try to very much to see themselves clearly, which is hard to do, because I got an ego that will protect me from seeing bad things all day long, right? But we have to be able and willing to see ourselves for who we are, broken, but also filled with promise. A true disciple is someone who serves others in love, and a disciple is someone who responds to evil with good because of the gift they've been given and because of the presence of God's Spirit. You know, it really is the purpose of the church is to go be disciples, to grow in Jesus Christ, to reflect him continuously, become more Christ-like as we walk through life, but also to teach others, right? The church is not an end in and of itself. It has a purpose. It has a mission. Robbie Galati, who wrote a book called Growing Up, where he's tackling sometimes this tendency to stay comfortable in our faith and not really mature in it, right? He says it this way. He says, when the church becomes an end to itself, it should end. When Sunday school, as great as it is, becomes an end to itself, it should end. When small group ministry becomes an end to itself, it should end. When the worship service becomes an end in itself, it should end. What we need is for discipleship to become the goal, and then the process never ends. It's fluid. It's always moving. It's active. It's a living thing. It must continue to go on. And it is our call. Every disciple is called to make disciples, to not just reflect the things of Jesus that we talked about just a second ago, but to teach them to others. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's more than just me involved. And that's really what it means to have a heart for the world, is to know that this isn't about me. It's never been about me. It's for me. It's for you. It's for all who would listen. But it's always been about Jesus and about the mission that he has for you and for I and for his body of believers in this broken and fallen world. And then he says, and remember, this last verse, he says, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And this demonstrates several realities that sometimes I think we overlook. The first is that Jesus holds the authority. In fact, just before this, right before this, literally the verse before, verse 18, he says to his disciples, he says, Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I have authority over everything. No matter what you are facing, no matter what you are going through, Jesus is still bigger. He's still bigger than your sin. He's still bigger than your pain. He's still bigger than your loss. He's still bigger than your fears. It's like having a big, impenetrable bodyguard right next to you all the time, guarding your heart and your mind. He offers a way to conquer our fears and our sins, not just in the past, but as we go. He's going to be with you always to the ends of the age, especially when we are on his mission. That's kind of the implication of these two verses, right? Go, make disciples of all nations, right? Teach them the things that I have taught you. Baptize them in the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Those two commands are reversed, but they're all in the same verse. It still applies. And I will be with you always. It's like Jesus taking you by the hand and him going, we have work to do. Go do it. I am right here. I am right here with you. I'm not even just behind you. I am next to you. I'm guarding your heart and your mind. I'm smiling and watching as you do the things that I've called you to do. I'm cheering you on. I am right here next to you all the way through. That will never stop. That will never change. He goes so far as to say that in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. He says, look, if you love me, you will keep my commands, right? If you're doing the things that I want you to do, to believe in me, to trust me, to go become a disciple and to make disciples. He says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Not for 5 seconds, not in your biggest, baddest, darkest, deepest times and only then, but forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it does not see him or know him, but you. He's talking to the disciples. You know him. If you're a disciple of Jesus, he's talking to you. You know him because he remains with you and he will be in you, holding your hand, walking alongside, and even within you if you trust him to guide your hearts and your minds and your words and your actions. He is there. To have a heart for the world also means recognizing that we are empowered to teach what Jesus taught, which is mind-boggling that he would allow me to speak eternal things, because if you know me, I'm a hot mess, right? I got my issues. But he said, no. When you're doing what I'm asking you to do, you're empowered to do that. I've told you to go do that. And he says, for how long? All the way to the end. I'm in charge until I come back. My spirit is here. And I'm spiritually in charge right now. I will be physically in charge when I come back. You don't need to worry. And you don't need to stop. You know, we're empowered to teach the word of God, and in some ways responsible for teaching the things of God to those who would come after us, really all the way up until we move on to the next life. There isn't a retirement age for teaching people about Jesus. There isn't a retirement age for making disciples. We are called to do that for the sake of the world throughout the entirety of our lives. As you're going through your week this week, challenge yourself a little bit. We're finishing up the series. Challenge yourself. How does my life reflect a heart for the world? Right? How would it change? How would the way I express that heart for the world change if I remind myself and I truly embrace the notion that Jesus is with me always, that he is standing right next to me? Ask yourself, challenge yourself, say, what authority am I giving Jesus in my life to decide what I need to do and when I need to do it? To decide what's a priority and what is not? To be his witness as he is calling me to be his hands and feet to go out and make a difference in the hearts of those who are without or who are lost or who are frightened, that we can introduce courage and ultimately salvation to through the one who took the punishment for us. What is Jesus calling you to do today? Because it could make a difference in someone's world, including your own. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and he be gracious to you. May he grant you favor and may he give you peace. God bless. Doop. Doop, doop.